Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Components and Scope of Infringement Liability Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On February 22, 2017, the Supreme Court decided Life Technologies Corp. v. Promega Corp. Promega Corporation owned 4 patents for technology used in kits that can conduct genetic testing and was the exclusive licensee of a 5th patent. In 2010, Promega sued Life Technologies Corporation for allegedly infringing on these patents. A jury found in favor of Promega, but the district court nevertheless ruled for Life Tech, concluding that Promega had failed to present evidence sufficient to sustain the favorable jury verdict. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit reversed that judgment, holding that the 4 Promega patents were ultimately invalid, but agreeing that Life Tech had infringed the 5th patent and remanding to the district court for a determination of damages. In the course of its ruling, the Federal Circuit concluded that Life Tech's supplying of a single commodity component of a multi-component invention had exposed Life Tech under federal law to damages liability on worldwide sales. The question before the Supreme Court was whether the Federal Circuit erred in holding that supplying a single commodity component of a multi-component invention from the United States exposes a manufacturer to liability for worldwide sales. By a vote of 7-0, the Supreme Court reversed the judgment of the Federal Circuit and remanded the case. In an opinion by Justice Sotomayor, the court held that the supply of a single component of a multi-component invention for manufacture abroad does not give rise to liability under Section 271(f)(1) of the Patent Act, which prohibits the supply from the United States of all or a substantial portion of the components of a patented invention for combination abroad. Justice Sotomayor's opinion was joined by Justices Kennedy, Ginsburg, Breyer, and Kagan. Justices Thomas and Alito joined the majority opinion as to all but Part 2C. Justice Alito filed an opinion concurring in part and concurring in the judgment, in which Justice Thomas joined. Chief Justice Roberts was recused. To discuss the case, we have Howard J. Klein, who is attorney at law at Klein, O'Neill, and Singh, LLP. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Klein.
This case, as we shall see, is a misplaced effort by the Supreme Court to simplify the task of juries in determining patent infringement under 35 U.S.C. 271(f)(1), which says that the supply from the U.S. of all or a substantial portion of the components of a patented invention for combination abroad constitutes patent infringement. In doing so, in attempting to simplify the tasks of juries, it will be seen that the Supreme Court very likely just made life a lot more difficult for district court judges. Getting to the background, Promega granted Life Technologies a sublicense under the Touts patent covering a genetic testing kit. The license had a restricted field of use. The patent claims covering the kit recited 5 components. One of the components, the TAQ, T-A-Q polymerase, was manufactured by Life Technologies in the U.S. and shipped to Life Technologies' subsidiary in the U.K., where it was combined with the other 4 components to create the patented genetic testing kits. Accusing Life Technologies of violating the field of use restriction, Promega sued Life Technologies for infringement under 35 U.S.C. Section 271(f)(1). After trial, the jury found Life Technologies liable for infringement under Section 271(f)(1). The district court, however, granted judgment as a matter of law to Life Technologies, holding that Section 271(f)(1) did not encompass the supply of only a single component from the U.S. in making the claimed combination abroad. The Federal Circuit reversed and reinstated the jury verdict of infringement, holding unanimously that a single component of a claimed combination could be, quote, a substantial portion of the components of a patented invention, close quote, for the purpose of Section 271(f)(1). If there is evidence to support a finding that the single component in question is, quote, important or essential, close quote, component of the claimed combination. The Federal Circuit panel determined that the evidence before the jury that the TAC polymerase was a main or major component of the patented kits supported the jury's verdict that under this qualitative test, the single component supplied from the U.S. could create liability under Section 271 F1. The Supreme Court granted cert only on the question of whether supplying from the U.S. of a single component of a multi-component claimed invention manufactured abroad can give rise to infringement liability under Section 271 F1. Reversing the Federal Circuit, the Supreme Court unanimously held, with the Chief Justice Roberts not participating, that the term, quote, a substantial portion of the components, close quote, in the statute literally required more than one component to be supplied from the U.S. The court, per Justice Sotomayor, first agreed with Light Technologies and the government as amicus that the term a substantial number of the components implied a quantitative test, i.e., a number of components, rather than the qualitative test, the importance of any single component upon which the Federal Circuit decision rested. Admitting that the language of the statute may be ambiguous, the court reasoned that resolving the ambiguity in the language of the statute in favor of a quantitative test would avoid, quote, tasking juries with interpreting the meaning of the statute on an ad hoc basis, close quote. Having decided on a quantitative test, the court then held that the number of components required to be supplied from the U.S. as a matter of law must be more than one. The court reached this conclusion by contrasting Section 271 F1 with Section 271 F2, under which infringement can be based on supplying only a single component, provided that the component is not a staple, article, or commodity of commerce. Requiring the supplying of more than a single component for liability under Section 271 F1, the court reasoned, allows that section to work, quote, in tandem, close quote, with 271 F2. Thus, reading 271 F1 to require the supplying of more than a single component was deemed by the court to be consistent with the overall statutory scheme envisioned by Congress in legislatively overruling the Supreme Court case of Deep South Packing versus Latrim Corporation, which decided in 1972, in order to provide an expanded scope of infringing activities. Justice Alito, with Justice Thomas, along with Justice Thomas, concurred and wrote a separate opinion to point out that Congress enacted 271 F1 not only to fill the gap in liability created by Deep South, in which all the components of the claimed invention were supplied from the U.S. for assembly abroad, but to go at least a little bit further. How much further was the question in this case? Justice Alito also observed that while the decision establishes that more than one component from the U.S. is necessary for liability to attach under 271 F1, the opinion does not address how much more. My take on this decision is that by adopting a quantitative test in an effort to simplify the fact finder's job, the court has opened a can of worms, maybe more than one. First, as broadly hinted by Justice Alito, a quantitative test still does not address exactly how many components would be a substantial portion of the components in a particular claimed invention. For example, if a claim recites seven components, would two components be a substantial portion? Three? Four? Wouldn't a quantitative test necessarily have a qualitative aspect? For example, what if only two of a claim's 10 recited components are the key components? Would the question of a purely numerical substantiality be one for the finder of fact, or would it be a question of law for the court to decide? For example, at a Markman hearing. And even before we get to the quantitative test, wouldn't we need to determine what is a component? Would it be a discrete element or limitation of a claimed invention? Or would it be an actual component of the reified invention? Wouldn't a purely quantitative test just lead to artful claim drafting with key components being recited as two or more separate subcomponents? If a claim recites an assembly comprising two or more components or subassemblies, is the assembly counted as a single component, or is each component or subassembly counted as a component in determining a substantial portion of the components? Again, would these questions be resolved at a Markman hearing or left to the trier of fact? The best we can hope for is that the Federal Circuit will sort this out over time with no further interference from above.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.fedsoc.org/multimedia.